Okay, so this morning we're reading from the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 6, text number 24, and the chapter is entitled Prahlad Instructs His Demoniac Schoolmates. So, translation. Therefore, my dear young friends, born of demons, please act in such a way that the Supreme Lord, who is beyond the conception of material knowledge, will be satisfied. Give up your demoniac nature and act without enmity or duality. Show mercy to all living entities by enlightening them in devotional service, thus becoming their well-wishers. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 18:55, Bhaktyamam abhijanati yavanyascha smita tataha. One can understand the Supreme Personality as He is only by devotional service. Prahlad Maharaj ultimately instructed his class friends, the sons of the demons, to accept the process of devotional service by preaching the science of Krishna consciousness to everyone. Preaching is the best service to the Lord. The Lord will immediately be extremely satisfied with one who engages in this service of preaching Krishna consciousness. This is confirmed by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita 18:69. Nacha tasman manusheshu kashchin me priya krittama. There is no servant in this world more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear. If one sincerely tries his best to spread Krishna consciousness by preaching the glories of the Lord and His supremacy, even if he is imperfectly educated, he becomes the dearmost servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is bhakti. As one performs this service for humanity without discrimination between friends and enemies, the Lord becomes satisfied and the mission of one's life is fulfilled. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore advised everyone to become a guru devotee and preach Krishna consciousness. Yare deka tare kaha Krishna upadesh. That is the easiest way to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By such preaching, the preacher becomes satisfied and those to whom he preaches are also satisfied. This is the process of bringing peace and tranquility to the entire world. Bhoktaram yagna tapasam sarva loka maheshwaram suridam sarva bhutanam gyantvamam shantim richati. One is expected to understand these three formulas of knowledge concerning the Supreme Lord, that He is a supreme enjoyer and that He is the proprietor of everything and that He is the best well-wisher and friend of everyone. A preacher should personally understand these truths and preach them everywhere to everyone. Then there will be peace and tranquility all over the world. The word suridham, friendliness, is very significant in this verse. People are generally ignorant of Krishna consciousness and therefore to become their best well-wisher, one should teach them about Krishna consciousness without discrimination. Since the Supreme Lord, Vishnu, is situated in the core of everyone's heart, everybody is a temple of Vishnu. One should not misuse this understanding as an excuse for such words as Daridra Narayan. If Narayan lives in the house of a Daridra, a poor man, this does not mean that Narayan becomes poor. He lives everywhere in the houses of the poor and those of the rich. But in all circumstances, he remains Narayan. To think that he becomes either poor or rich is a material calculation. He is always Sad Aishwarya Purna, full in six opulences in all circumstances. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Mukum Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yad Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dina Tarinam Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhye Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So here we have Srila Prabhupada is amazing purport that he's given here in this preaching. Prahlad Maharaj, he's instructing his demoniac school friends. So there is a few verses that are quoted in the purport. Can anybody remember any of the verses? Okay, yeah. What does it mean? So that one is there. Nacha tasman manusheshu kashin me priya kritama. There's no servant in this world more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear. That means one who does this preaching work. So that's one. Anyone can remember any of the other verses that were in the purport? Sorry? Okay, yeah. So, Bhaktaram Yajna Tapasam, yeah? Okay, that's it. And what does that mean? What's that verse all about? It's anybody else know what Bhaktaram Yajna Tapasam verse is all about? You or Krishna? Krishna. So I said, this one, Bhaktaram Yajna Tapasam, Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, is a very powerful verse, actually. And this is actually the peace formula. So Prabhupada says here, one is expected to understand these three formulas of knowledge concerning the Supreme Lord, that he is a supreme enjoyer, and that he is a supreme proprietor of everything, and that he is the best well-wisher and friend of everyone. So if people have a misunderstanding about those things, then they have problems. If we think we are the supreme enjoyers and the supreme controllers of all there is, and we have a misunderstanding then. It's like the lake outside there. So if you take a handful of pebbles and you throw them into the lake, then you get so many ripples that are colliding with each other because there's many stones that are going in. But if you throw one stone, then the ripples that form are uniform. You know, they're not clashing against each other. So everyone in this world, every conditioned soul in this world is thinking, yeah, that I am the supreme enjoyer. So everything they're looking at, they're trying to enjoy whatever they see in this world, they think it's for my enjoyment, you know. So I'm the supreme enjoyer. You know? So they're trying to enjoy. And then they think I'm in control, you know. And I'm the supreme proprietor. This is mine, you know. So people fight over a tract of land, saying this is mine. But before they came, who did the land belong to? And after they go, who will the land belong to? So then, if we can understand the simple formula that Lord Krishna is giving in Bhagavad Gita, Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam Savaloka Maheshwaram Suridham Sarvabhutanam Gyantvamam Shantim Richati. Only then there can be peace and tranquility in the world when people understand that the Supreme Lord is a supreme proprietor, he's a supreme enjoyer and supreme controller, but he's also the supreme friend of every living entity. But when we are trying to be that supreme enjoyer and controller, then there's always conflict and there's always a problem. So there was one other verse in the purport. No, you've done that one. Bhakti Amama Bijanati. Oh, you said that? Okay, sorry. Out of hearing. Okay, so Bhakti Amama Bijanati Yavanyas Chasmi Tatata. It's 1855 Bhagavad Gita. It says, one can understand the Supreme Personality as he is only by devotional service. So Prahlad Maharaj ultimately instructed his class friends, the sons of the demons, to accept the process of devotional service and by preaching the science of Krishna consciousness to everyone. And preaching is the best service to the Lord. So the Lord can only be understood by devotional service. Bhoktaram yagna bhaktyamam abhijanati yavanyas chasmitatva. Only by devotional service. So that's quite a profound statement. It can't be understood in any other way. You know? So it says here that the process of devotional service and preaching is actually the best process. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, he used to quote this statement. He used to say, don't try to see God, but work in such a way that God will want to see you. You know? So I was kind of thinking about that, you know, what that means, you know. So I think I heard some like senior devotees preaching before, and they were saying, you know, if you want to attract Krishna's attention, then instead of like trying to be at the front all the time and trying to show off, you know, do something amazing to please Krishna. You know? Then you will attract his attention. You know, like Srila Prabhupada, he had, you know, many pastimes. So there was one pastime where one devotee, he had learnt many verses. So wherever Srila Prabhupada was walking, he would run up ahead and be reciting verses, you know. And he was looking very scholarly, you know. So Srila Prabhupada, he tolerated it for a while, but then after he said, you know, go and do something useful, you know. You know, like, like he was saying, he said, don't try to enjoy the spiritual master, but try and serve the spiritual master. So Hridayananda Maharaj, he was always going to wherever Srila Prabhupada was, and he was trying to be as close to Srila Prabhupada and be with him, and wherever Srila Prabhupada was, on the morning walks, here, there, and everywhere. And one time, Srila Prabhupada was giving a lecture, he was giving Bhagavatam class, and he was looking right at Hridayananda Maharaj. And he said, don't try and enjoy the spiritual master, but try and just serve the spiritual master. And Hridayananda Maharaj said that Prabhupada looked right at him and it cut right through him. So after that, he got the instead of just trying to be around Srila Prabhupada, he decided actually the best way to get close to Prabhupada is actually help him in what he really wants done. You know? And that way, one can become very close to the spiritual master. So he got the van ready and filled it up with books, and he took some devotees and he went out traveling distributing books. And then when Prabhupada got the results of his preaching activities, he was very, very pleased. You know? Otherwise, sometimes people, they think, okay, you know, I want to be close to the spiritual master. I want to be with him wherever he is. I'm going to stick to him. You know? But sometimes for the spiritual masters, it's like a little bit of a botheration, you know, like this guy just hanging around all the time. You know? Yeah. So they say like a fly can also sit on the lap of the king, you know, but it doesn't mean it's necessarily close to the king or, you know. So, like, if a disciple is following the instructions of his spiritual master, then he can be on the other side of the world, and because he's executing the instructions of the spiritual master, he's actually always with the spiritual master. The spiritual master is always with him. You know? Otherwise, physically, in proximity, one may be sitting very close to, right next to the spiritual master, but one is actually millions of miles away, because one doesn't understand the mood of the spiritual master, and one doesn't understand the mission of the spiritual master. So then you can be very close, but not close at the same time. You know? So Srila Prabhupada, he writes that, he said, I always felt the presence of my spiritual master with me. You know, he was traveling on the Jaladuta, and he went through so many difficulties, and he was alone in New York. But he said, I always felt the presence of my spiritual master with me because I was completely dedicated to executing his mission, you see. So that's like a really, really important factor. So we got this wonderful, beautiful opportunity, the Sankirtan December Prabhupada Marathon. And for some people, when you mention the word marathon, it's kind of brings up fear for some people. They think, oh my God, I'm going to have to surrender, you know. And, you know, this is the coldest time of the year, you know. And but actually, like, I was in the Scottish Yatra in Scotland for a long time. So in Scotland, where Maharaj knows about it, you know. So in Scotland, we used to have 6 marathons a year. So there was the December Prabhupada Marathon, which was December and January. And then there was the Kartik Marathon, and there was the Radhashtami Marathon, the Janmashtami Marathon, the Gaurpurnima Marathon, and any excuse marathon. So there wasn't much time when there wasn't marathon. I remember one marathon we went out, and we didn't come back to the temple for 4 months. So, and the Scottish Yatra, it was like a commando unit, you know. So, like, you know, by 8:15, you know, you got ready and you're coming down, you're getting your prasadam, and you're getting your books and your paraphernalia, and you're jumping in the car. And they brought in a new rule: you weren't allowed to eat your prasadam until you were 20 minutes to the drop-off point, you know, in case you fell asleep. You know? Anyway, there was a few things, but I mean, it was austere, but, and especially in winter in Scotland, it's much colder than it is here. So, like, you know, you're looking out the window and it's blowing a gale, or it's, you know, hailstones or it's snow, you know, and you're thinking, my God, you know. I mean, Arun Prabhu, he lived in Scotland for a while, you know, so he's got an idea of what it's like. I mean, Pranabandhu in the early days, was it 1980, 81, Balabhadra Prabhu sent him and a devotee called Giriraj to a place in Dumfriesshire called Dumfries. But he called it Domfries because it was so cold, you know. And they were sent to distribute books on the street and sell Krishna conscious records, you know. So it's like you're looking out the window and it was like snowing and it's in, and you think, my God, I'm going to be out there for 10 hours on the street, you know, standing in the middle of that trying to sell books. And it was like, your mind is doing somersaults, you know. You think, my God, you know, what am I doing here? But actually, at this time of year, the karmis are on the marathon, you know. You know, now it's Black Friday, you know. There used to be one day, now it's become a week, you know. So they're all on a marathon, you know. People they're selling so many products, and most of the products actually people don't really need, you know. They're excess to requirements, you know. But you know, there's a hype and people are going for it, you know. So then, and then the build up to Christmas, you see all the shops are busy and people are selling. Some businesses they make more sales at this time of year, in December, than any other time. You know? Sometimes they make enough to keep them going when through the lean periods. You know? So anyway, so the karmis are on a marathon of sense gratification. You know? For us, it's like, oh, we can be sitting comfortably in a nice, you know, warm location by the radiator, you know, and have a plate of Mahaprasad beside us and think we're comfortable. But actually, when we take the voluntary austerity to go out and do good to others, then actually we can really taste what real transcendental happiness is all about. So if we're always thinking about ourselves and we're very self-centered and we're just trying to make our life more comfortable, then actually we end up very miserable. We end up actually not understanding the meaning of life. But when we take some, when we make some sacrifice to go out, and somehow or other give Krishna consciousness to people who are unfortunate, you know, and who don't have any connection with the Supreme Lord, then we make those people very happy, and we make the Lord very happy, and if we are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. So then if we make the Lord happy, we automatically become happy. You know? So it's just like if you water the different leaves and branches of the tree, then that doesn't really help. But when you water the root of the tree, then all the branches and leaves and the flowers, they become nourished, you see. So just like if the hand wants to just eat the samosa on its own, then there's no joy for the hand, you know. They cannot digest the samosa. You know? But if the hand cooperates with the stomach, and the stomach digests the samosa, then the nourishment goes to the hand and the other parts of the body. So the living entity trying to enjoy independently of Krishna, then it's like the hand trying to eat the samosa. People become morose, they become unhappy, they become miserable. But when we cooperate with the Lord and we try to do what he wants, in all these scriptures, you know, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, in all the teachings, all the great acharyas, you know, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda, all the way back, you know, to Lord Krishna, Narad Muni, Srila Vyasadeva, what do they want, you know? They just want people to have this Krishna consciousness. They want people to actually understand who they are and what they should be doing in this life to get free from the cycle of birth, death, old age and disease and go and have an eternal life full of bliss and knowledge. You know? So I've personally experienced, like, you know, my mind has freaked out many times. It's like, I think, okay, you know, here comes a marathon. It's like, you know, and we're going to be flogged to death, you know. But actually, there's different ways to look at everything, you know. So life is not about what happens to you, but how you react to things in life. So you can see it as a wonderful opportunity to actually make so much spiritual advancement in Krishna consciousness and develop transcendental happiness and help so many unfortunate souls and do the mission of the Lord, what Srila Prabhupada came for, you know. We can help him in that mission. So one man I was speaking to, and he was saying to me, he was a bit of a sentimentalist, he was saying, if I had been there in New York in 1965 when Srila Prabhupada had come, I would have really helped him, you know. I would have carried his suitcases and I would have, you know, rented a hotel room for him, and I would have, you know, bought food for him, and I would have helped him so much. I would have helped him. So I said, you know what? You can still help Srila Prabhupada. He said, really? I said, yeah. Well, Srila Prabhupada, he set up this mission, and he wants everyone to gain knowledge of Krishna. So if you can still help Srila Prabhupada by going out and sharing this Krishna consciousness and the chanting of Hare Krishna with people. He said, oh, no, I don't want to do that. So, you know, sometimes it's like, you know, the daydreams, you know, we get, you know, sentimentality, you know. Like, oh, you know, if I had been there at this time, I would have done so much, you know. So, but the thing is, we are here now, so do what you can now with what you have, you know. So, you know, forget the past that sleeps, ne'er the future dream at all, for live in times that are with thee, and progress you shall call, you know. So one devotee was saying to me, Prabhu, you know, I like book distribution, but, you know, some of the other devotees are doing 100 books, you know. So, you know, I can only do 20 or 30 books, and I just feel so insignificant in front of them that I'm not even going to attempt it, you know. I said to this devotee, the trouble with you is whatever you do, you want to be the best at it, you know, otherwise you don't want to play. He said, I can't be like that devotee, you know. I said, no one's asking you to be like that devotee. We're not. Krishna consciousness is an individual thing. So Krishna's given every one of us unique individual qualities and abilities. And why is he given them? Because He wants you to use them for to serve him. You know? So if we were all the same, it would be very boring. You know? So I said, okay. So if you can't do 100 books like this other devotee, it doesn't mean that you don't go out at all. You know, that means you miss the boat. You know. So whatever you can do, you do it to the best of your ability. You know. So just like Hanuman, he was throwing massive boulders, you know, to make the bridge to Lanka, and the squirrel was throwing, you know, pebbles. You know? So it wasn't the squirrel wasn't in Lord Ram's eyes, the squirrel wasn't doing any less than Hanuman, you know, because he was doing according to his capability, according to his capacity. So I was saying to the devotee, I said, okay, what do you like doing for Krishna? What do you like in Krishna consciousness? He said, well, I love chanting. He said, I love preaching, I like telling people about Krishna, I love kirtan. He said, I like book distribution as well. I said, well, okay, then whatever things you like doing, do it for Krishna. You know? Yeah, don't worry about everybody else, you know. It's self-realization, you know. Srila Prabhupada wrote the book, Science of Self-Realization. He didn't write a book, The Science of Everybody Else Realization, you know. It's all about self-realization, you know. So it's your relationship with Krishna, you know. It's your relationship with Guru and Krishna. So every one of us can do whatever we can. So, you know, like maybe Sutapa or Vishwambar or Guru Shakti Mataji will go and do hundreds of books. So someone may think, well, oh, you know, I can't. Shri Shri Radha Gokulanandaji ki jai, Shri Shri Ram Lakshmanaman ki jai, Shri Shri Gonitai ki jai. Someone think, well, I can't work on that level. But then, if everyone does whatever they can do, then that pleases Krishna. You know, we've heard it in this purport. You know, Prahlad Maharaj is preaching to his demoniac school friends. You know, that he's getting them out on Sankirtan. You know, so you know they're demons. You know, like that. So we're supposed to be devotees. So we should be more inspired to do it. You know, and it's actually fun. It's actually fun. So I personally found. Your mind can be your enemy, and quite often it is, because the things that give you the highest happiness and the things that really give you a springboard to advance in spiritual life, the mind doesn't want to do that. It doesn't want you to do that. So it really, really starts to, you know, give trouble. But if you don't give in to the mind, and you take shelter of the holy name, and you take shelter of the association of the Vaishnavas, and you pray to the deities, and you go and do something wonderful for other living entities, then actually the bliss comes. You know? Like Vishwambar, he goes to the motorway services, so he's got this technique, you know, he goes to the McDonald's and places where people are sitting comfortably, he sits next to them, and he starts talking to them. And next thing you know, they're buying a book, you know. So different devotees have different techniques. You know, I know one devotee, what he used to do, he used to go into like record shops and bookstores, you know, and he would just walk around as if he's like looking to buy something, and he would stand next to someone and then he would start talking to them, and next thing he's selling them a book, because he didn't really like being out on the street. He said it's cold on the street, so he was inside. You know? I know Prabhupada Charan, he was a big book distributor, so he would go to air shows, you know, where they have air shows. Have you done some air shows? Yeah, okay. And have you done any air shows? No. So there's very high security at air shows, especially Royal Air Force air shows and things. So anyway, somehow or other, they would get in without paying, you know, go over the fence or, you know, sneak in or somehow. And then, so he got thrown out, you know. So then he came out, then he changed his coat and his hat and he went in through a different entrance. And then when the security caught him again, and they said, what are you doing here? We throw you out. He said, oh, I thought you meant not to work over there. Yeah, I did that once in the shopping center in Blackburn, you know. It was a really miserable day, and I thought, it's like cold and raining, no one stopping. So I thought, well, all I'll do is I'll work inside the shopping center. You know? So the security guards normally throw you out. You know, So I was working there. I was there for about 2.5 hours. And people were stopping and taking books and stuff. And the security guards came and said, "Hey, you're not supposed to be here, you know. You get out, you know." And I said, "Oh, I was just giving out some books on spirituality." He said, "I don't care what you're doing, get out." You know? Okay, fine. So I went out. So what I did was, there's a big shopping center. It's got 5 entrances. So I went round to the other side and then went in the entrance there. So then I got another 2 hours in before the guard saw me there. Then he said, "I thought I told you to get lost." And I said, "Well, I thought you just meant that entrance over there." So anyway, whatever, you use some tricks, you know. But somehow, if you get through the day, fine, you know. So there's some interesting things. So in 1979, Dwarka Puri and myself, we were going to the Mahabharat Youth Clubs in Southall, and we hadn't joined. We were just coming there regularly, and on a Sunday, sometimes we would come here to the manor and help out with the gardening and do some kirtan and take prasad. So the devotees, it was marathon time, so Akhandari brought a big bag full of books, you know, hardback books and small books, and a big bag full of incense, and he told us, he said, "Go out and sell these." And we were thinking, "My God, how do we do this? They didn't give us any training or anything. They said, "Well, there you go, there's your bags, go on." So then me and Dwarka Puri, before we joined, it's 1979, we went door to door in Southall, you know. So we had the Spiritual Sky incense sticks, and we had this big bag of Prabhupada's books, you know. So we knock on someone's door and say, "Oh, you know, we're just doing some voluntary work, and we've got these nice books on spiritual life, and we've got some nice incense." You know, we had this all different flavors of Spiritual Sky incense, you know. So somehow or other, we weren't trained, and I was only 16 at the time, you know. I was supposed to be studying for my exams, and I was out trying to sell some incense and books, you know. So that's probably why I didn't do so well in my studies. You know? So then anyway, we didn't really sell much books. One or two people bought some books, but we were really fumbling. We didn't know how to approach anything. We weren't trained. When we knocked on one door, and this big black mama, you know, she opened the door, and she said, "What do you want?" And I was like, you know, we're thinking, okay, I got all this incense. I said, we're actually just selling some incense and some books. And she's looking, she said, "What is this incense?" And we didn't really know what to say. I just said, "Well, if you burn it, it keeps the flies away." And then she said, which flavor is good? So then I was looking at her, and I was looking at, we had about 10 different flavors. I said, "This one's good for you, African violets." So she bought one. So we didn't really have any training or anything, but we just were trying, you know. So I think it's so important that devotees just make an effort. And not only those devotees that are sitting here, but everyone who's listening online, you know, in the comfort of their homes, having their breakfast. But everyone can do something, you know. You can take some prasadam with you, take some books with you, get people to chant the holy name. And it's not only for the month of December. Actually, you can do this all year round, you know. And actually, it's nectar. So we have our friend Bhakta Cyrus, who's just gone out. So Bhakta Cyrus, he's here in the temple for the last 3 years. So he said that in 2016, he was in Edgware on the high street, and he met Mother Yashashwani and one other Mataji that was there, and he got a book. And then he was so interested, he was asking so many questions, that actually he joined, you know. He's here now. And he was always searching for meaning in life. He was searching for truth throughout his whole life. He didn't fit in with his family because he seemed like an odd person because he wasn't getting into all the things the others were getting into. So one day I was distributing books in Glasgow in Union Street. Have you been to Union Street? Yeah. Yeah, you've been, yeah. Oh, you've been, okay. So this was in the 90s. And then I stopped this old man, a Scottish man, So I said to him, we're monks, you know, we're doing some nice work here, and we're passing out some books, you know, and these books teach you how to get more out of life than a headache, you know. I'm sure you've had your plenty fair share of headaches, you know. So this guy, old guy, is looking at me like very intensely, and he said, you want a donation? I said, yeah, it would be very nice. So he said, first show me your hands. I was saying, that's strange. So he looked at me. So then there was another devotee just working near me. He said, call him. So I called the devotee, and he said, show me your hands. So then this old man said to me, he said, I'll give him a donation, but won't give you one. And I thought, really? I said, why is that? He said, your hands are too soft. You haven't done a day's work in your life. I said, okay, fine. I said, well, give my donation to him as well then. He's going to the same place, you know. So, and then also in Glasgow, I think it was Sauchie Hall Street, one time I was distributing some books, and I got this kind of born-again Christian who was a crazy man, you know, and he was disrupting sales. He was saying, you're from the devil, you know, you're from the devil, and he was telling people, don't go near him, don't buy any books from him, he's from the devil, and all this. So I was like, oh my God, you know. This went on for a while, so I was thinking, how am I going to get rid of this nutter, you know. And then I had an idea. I said to him, excuse me, sir, can you say Goranga? And he said, no, I'm not going to say Goranga. I said, oh, you said it. And he was like, he said, well, what will happen? I said, oh, it's too late now. There's nothing I can do to stop it now, you know. They said, you know, it's too late now. He said, but what will happen? I said, you'll have to just wait and find out. So he looked really worried, and he walked off. So then that was Lord Goranga's mercy, because I was able to carry on distributing books, you know. And then, so sometimes when we were driving in different areas, what we would do, in some remote areas, we would just see some people on the street, we would just stop the car and say, excuse me, sir. And we said, do you know where Goranga Street is? And the guy said, Goranga Street? He said, I don't know where Goranga Street is. I said, fine. So we were thinking, this guy, you know, how many lifetimes has it been before he's been waiting to chant holy name? You know? So we said, well, any excuse, you know. Then I said, oh, well, if you don't know where Goranga Street is, do you know where Nittai Close is? He says, Nittai Close? He said, maybe up there. Try on your left up there. So somehow or other, you get people to chant the holy name, somehow or other, give people the books. And also, when you're on book distribution, it's not the book they buy, it's you. You know, if you're standing there thinking, I don't really want to be here, you know, and it's freezing, and I'm just looking at my clock to see what time we finish, and I just want to go back to the temple or back home, you know, then it means the vibe that you're giving off is that I'm miserable, you know, and if you take this up, you will be miserable as well. Because a good salesman is one who has faith in the product. So somebody that is enthusiastic, they can sell sand to Arabs and ice to Eskimos. You know? If you're enthusiastic enough. Because basically, it's all about, if you just go and try and be enthusiastic, then leave the result to Krishna. So one, sometimes devotees get so wired up, it's about the result. You know, Prabhu, I want to do 100 books a day, I want to do 100 books a day, 100 books a day. So I said, look, instead of worrying about the result so much, why don't you just worry about concentrating on the endeavor, you know? You chant nicely, pray to the deities, you know, don't offend the Vaishnavas, and go out and be as enthusiastic and approach everyone and try your very, very best and leave the result to Krishna. So one devotee came to me, he said, Prabhu, what's your target for the marathon? I said, you really want to know? He said, yeah, I want to know. I said, it's Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet. He said, oh. He said, that's a good target. And then one devotee said, Prabhu, when does the marathon finish? So I said, well, it's not even started yet. I said, actually, if you really want to know, the marathon finishes when you get home back to Godhead. That's when the marathon finishes. So Krishna consciousness isn't for one day or for one month. It's actually a lifetime. You know? So anyway, there's many different stories and different things. One time I was in Tolworth in South London with Sakharas. This was 1984. So we went to this shop. It was an Indian shop. And they weren't very happy to see us. So the wife said, you know, give them some money, get rid of them, you know. Anyway, they gave us a fiver and we gave them a science of self-realization and we went, you know. But then a couple of months later we came back because they had given a donation and took a book. So then, but they had this machine, they were cutting like meat, you know, slicing meat. It was like, so then they weren't interested, they wanted to get rid of us. But anyway, we got another donation, gave them another book. We said to them, look, you know, you're from a Vedic culture, why are you cutting this meat, you know? There's so many things you can do to make your livelihood, you know. Why do you have to do this? So they were crying, you know. So eventually we started visiting them regularly and they started chanting. Then they sold that shop and they got some other gift shop with cards and other things. And they got initiated, you know. So this devotee, his name is... initiated name is Vaishnavananda. He lives in South London. And his name was Vyomesh then. So we nicknamed him Vyomasura. You know? Yeah, but then we met his wife's sister at another shop in South Norwood, and her name is Chandravali. As some of you may know her, she's at Soul Street. So a few months ago, she came up to me and she said, you know, when you came to our shop in 1984 and you sold us books and all this stuff, she said, before that, we had a great life. You know, we used to buy a new car every year. We used to have 2 or 3 holidays a year. We had so much sense gratification. And now, Krishna's taken everything away. You know? Yeah, but she's initiated, her husband got initiated, the children are initiated, they're all chanting and serving. So I said, yeah, Krishna took everything away, but he gave you special mercy. By taking everything away, he has given you himself. You know? And Vasudeva Saramiti, Samahatma Sudurlabha. That great soul is very rare who understand that Krishna is everything. You know? So if you have Krishna, you have everything. If you don't have Krishna, you don't have anything. You know? So anyway, time is getting on. So we'll have to stop there. There's so many other stories. So if anyone hearing this, so our humble request to everyone here and everyone listening online is that, you know, please, some or other, get involved in some way or other, you know. Adam Prabhu, he gave a wonderful class the other day. He's a young devotee and he's really very sincere. He's trying his heart out to get this mission out there and get the message and actually care for people, you know, not just sell them the books, but actually do the follow-up. You know, Mother Guru Charan Padma, she gave an amazing class yesterday. So much sincerity, you know, like complete, you know, devotion, you know. She's like amazing. No wonder, you know, all her family, her children are wonderful devotees. You can tell a tree by its fruits, you know. So, anyway, we've got Gita Jayanti coming up on the 29th. So if people want to go out and distribute some books, that's fantastic. If they don't want to distribute some books, then they can sponsor some books. They can sponsor some Srimad Bhagavatam sets. And some people say, well, I've got a Bhagavatam set already. We say, okay, fine. Then sponsor one for your family, for your friends, for your enemies even. You know, sponsor some Bhagavad Gita. So one guy said, I don't want Gita, you know. I don't like reading. I said, that's okay. But if you don't like reading, there's a fine. He said, what's the fine? I said, you have to sponsor books so other people have to read them. He said, okay, I'll do that. Okay, so thank you very much for your attention. And yeah, please make an endeavor in some way, shape or form, and you will experience the joy of Krishna consciousness like anything. Srila Prabhupada ki, yeah. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. It's a little bit late, so if any questions are there, can come afterwards. Hare Krishna.